This episode is supported by The Kardashians, now streaming exclusively on Disney+. The cameras return to document Hollywood's most infamous family, inviting viewers back into their lives for a fifth season. Watch Kris, Courtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie as they navigate motherhood, co-parenting, and growing their empires. This season, the Kardashian-Jenner family is focused on staying connected despite busy schedules and the tensions of fame. Tune in for unfiltered access to fresh drama with exes, sibling rivalry, and intense business ventures. And when you watch, you'll see what's actually happening behind the scenes and beyond the headlines. See for yourself how things really went down. Season 5 has more family, more glamour, and more access than ever before. This family always keeps things interesting. New season of The Kardashians, now streaming exclusively on Disney+.
Once upon a beat,
join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, for a weekly jam-packed party as we remix and reimagine classic stories for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Once Upon a Beat is a new kids and family podcast from Wondery and Tinkercast, where hip-hop and fables meet. Listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat. Once upon a beat,
join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, for a weekly jam-packed party as we remix and reimagine classic stories for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Once Upon a Beat is a new kids and family podcast from Wondery and Tinkercast, where hip-hop and fables meet. Listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once upon a beat.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and hilarious Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, how's it going?
Oh, hey, how you doing, Ben?
Whoa.
Good to see you.
Hi.
I mean, just keep going in circles and circles here. I need some softness and tenderness, so if you could deliver that to me, that would be great. That would be great. Not going to hold my breath, not going to lie. You're always a victim, but go ahead.
I'm just, like, trying to figure out, like, what changed the past, like, 2 weeks that made you want to talk about circles and circles?
Lindsay, I've always been an asshole. Welcome to the big breakup day, guys. It has been breakup season. I mean, Vanderpump Rules started us with breakups last year, and Bravo has just been giving it to us with every single show this year because it was such a ratings bonanza. So let's just keep breaking up with each other, shall we? A year on, and we're still getting huge breakup finales. But I've been waiting for this. I need to be held, Ben. It was a big night in my house. Big night.
It was this was a huge night. This was great TV. So we are here to recap the season finale of Summer House. Before we dive into that, normally we would have a Crappens on Demand video for all our Crappens on Demand peeps over on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. But we right now we're actually in two different countries. I'm in Germany, Ronnie's in Italy, and the hotel Wi-Fi is just not strong enough for both of these personalities on video. So the video component, we tried, it just isn't working. So I'm so sorry, people, crap is on demand. There's no video this week. The Wi-Fi does not support it. We decided it's better to have cleaner audio than that. So sorry for that. But hopefully the audio should now be better. We're going to find out. So that's what's going on today with today's recording.
So we traveled today to start our European vacation. I'm doing an Eat, Pray, Love moment over in Italy. And let me tell you, I understand why people love it here. I mean, people really are loving. I've heard that they're very romantic and passionate and stuff. I watched some TV shows that take place here. They are very, very passionate, okay? Especially on the mob shows. Even their murders are very passionate. Today, my cab driver brought me here. You know, we didn't know the same languages, but I pointed and grunted at the Google Maps, and we both got it until I got here. And I thought, I wonder if this guy hates me. And he took my bags out of the car, and then he turned to me when he was leaving outside my hotel, and he has these big, he was this big, huge, tall guy, and he grabbed my hand with both of his gigantic hands, and he squeezed them really hard, and he pulled me close to him, and he looked me in the eye, and he went, "Thank you." And then got back into his car and he left. And I was like, that is the most romantic shit that's happened to me literally in years. I almost fell down to the ground and started crying. I was touched.
Wow. Wow. And you know what? I wound up in an actual fight with drunk Germans on a train today.
What? What happened?
So I came here to Germany. And I met up with our friends Michelle and Lauren, who were in Dublin with us. And Michelle is here in Germany with her husband. Her husband's on sabbatical this year, so her husband and her two super sweet, adorable little daughters, who are like 10 and 7, so cute. So I landed in Germany. They picked me up in Cologne. We toured all around Cologne. It was wonderful. And then it was time to hop on the train to go down to Bonn, which is where we're actually all staying. So we get on the train, and I see these two drunkies. It's like a lady who, I'm trying to, it's like, imagine like everyone's school principal, but like German and drunk. So she's like staggering onto this train along with this guy. So these, like, I don't know, they're probably about like 52 or something like that. Like, way too old to be this drunk in public. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. I think that there's... I mean, then again, to be fair, I'm like, if you're over 22 and you're this drunk in public, I'm like, stop it. But anyway, they get on. So we're all getting onto this train. And Michelle's husband, Conrad, has like kind of tried to kind of reserve this like this area of seats on the train. You know, on like a commuter train, right by the door, there's always like four seats that face each other, like two and two that face each other, you know?
Okay.
So he had like tried to reserve this spot for like, basically, we're a party of six. He's like, you know, for his daughters and his wife and then us. And these two drunkies, they go and they like sit right down, even though one of the daughters is already right there. And one of us is right there. And he's like, oh, I'm saving these seats for my family. Because this all happens in German. And they're like, you cannot save seats. You cannot save seats on a where does it show? Where does it show on the sign that you can save seats on the train? Because they're hammered. And they're being rude. Rude as hell. And he's like, well, this is for my family. So we're all coming on. And then we're like, this is like, we're trying to like be in, you know, this is like our section. So finally, like, whatever, we'll just sit down. And they're like wasted. And they have like actually more people in their group who are coming. It's like a bunch of like drunk parents, like they're like all parents. I don't know if they're parents, but they're parent age, you know, like older parent age. And they're drunk. And then they start like sitting on each other. And then they topple over onto Michelle's like 7-year-old daughter who's sitting there. Like, so you have adults that are falling over onto a little child. So, of course, Michelle and her husband freak out and are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, get up. There's a child right there, you know? And they're like, oh, shut up. You're a fucking bitch. You're a bitch. And this guy, it's wild. It's crazy. The guy turns to Michelle's other daughter and says, let me rescue you from your mean father. Could you even imagine? He said this to this 10-year-old child.
Oh, my God.
This girl's crying, sobbing. This is the scary thing. It's an adult. The other girl's crying because, like, two drunkies fell over, right? So they're fighting and everything. It is wild. But, of course, Lauren and I, we don't speak German. So we don't really know what's going on except that it's like, these are drunkies and this is bad, right? So we get the kids out of there. By we, I mean, like, Conrad. I was like, oh, my God. I was actually mad at myself that I was not more active in this. But it's like, you're in a foreign country. You don't really know what's going on, you know? So Conrad gets his daughter out of that situation, and he takes both. And then, like, they keep on staring back at us, like, you know, like fucking beach. And it's like, it's weird because these were not like you wouldn't look at them and be like, oh, it's not like trashy people that you just sort of expect this. These just look like warm, like your neighbors, you know, like warm, nice people or something like that. And they're being so rude and drunk. And so Conrad makes a comment to us, and he says, well, you know, in America, you have to be careful because if this were to happen in America, someone could have a gun. And they go, you have a gun? He said he has a gun. And they think that we're threatening him with a gun now. So now they're like, we're going to call the police. Police, we're going to call the police. So it's like spiraling out of control. And then, so now, and these girls are sobbing, you know? This is so, it's so much, it's scary, it's so tense. So Conrad takes the girls and takes them all the way out, like, this was just a different car on the train. But we're sitting there because it's like, there's no seats, and so we're just like there, he's got them, and...
You're like, listen, I hope your girls are okay, please take them to the car, I choose sitting down. Okay, I will take the fear.
Well, because I have my whole bag. It would have been back. Like, it would have been such a commotion, and we're like, Conrad's got them, we've got this, whatever. And then like the conductor comes through, and they start telling the conductor that we were threatening them with guns. And this was where it was amazing, because these people were such assholes, and everyone in the train car started yelling at those people, because everyone saw this. Everyone was yelling and saying they're fucked up, and it was actually an amazing moment ultimately, because all of these strangers kind of leapt into action and were like, and they were like, no, these people are drunk, and they were shouting at them, like, fuck them, essentially. And they were mortified. They were mortified because they're like, we don't want you to think that all Germans are like this, you know? Like, we don't want you to think this whatsoever. And it actually was, like, a really wonderful moment. But unfortunately, as adults, we recognize how great of a moment was. And the conductor apparently said to them, they said, you get off at the next stop, or I'm calling the police. Which was like, whoa. Like, it was, like, total justice. It was great. But, you know, the poor girl, like, well, one girl was like, it was amazing, we won. The other one, though, is like, you know, sobbing. An adult said something so horrifying to her, and just was like, you know what, people, get it together. Get it the fucking together. So it was a wild night here in Germany.
Wow, what a way to start it off.
I'm sorry, did I just... I was not expecting to do like a 6-minute monologue about this crazy fight here in Germany, but
or a horror show monologue. No, I didn't mean way to start the episode. I meant way to start your trip in Germany.
I know, but the people were so nice, and they were just mortified. They were like, "Please don't think that we are like this." So,
well, damn, I'm glad I chose Italy. Jeez, I'm like having the best time of my life. I ate a pizza. I made a pizza, and some guy looked into my eyes and made me a puddle over a taxi drop off. So. I don't know. It's never too late to change your mind.
Yeah, but I did have some delicious German food. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
Well,
I should not have launched
it's not
that
boring
story
over
only
there, so that's good.
I know. I shouldn't have launched that story only because we have an epic recap to go through. Okay, we've got Summer House, and we don't need to be talking about drunk assholes on the German trains. We need to talk about drunk assholes in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Or in this case, sober assholes.
So we start where we left off last time, which is Carl and Lindsay fighting, because it's always Carl and Lindsay fighting. I mean, look, I'm so glad these two are broken up. I'm so happy. Unfortunately, I don't believe that it's going to last because, like, I'll believe they'll stay broken up, but they're going to have talk after talk after talk about it, because this is not Scandoval where you have an Ariana that's like, fuck you, I never want to talk about this again. This is Carl and Lindsay. They will come on here for 10 years and keep talking about this for the rest of their time. They'll be like, hey, you want to have another talk about it? Why did you treat me like that? I trusted you. I've abandoned you. I mean, they're going to be doing this for years. But still, they needed to get broken up. I'm glad to see them broken up. So let's see how it happened. It's a lot, Lindsay. It's a fucking lot. Fair. Veins popping out of his forehead in his marching band uniform.
His unexplained end-of-the-world marching band uniform. So he's like, you know, you're rolling.
I'm doing music, man, after the nuclear apocalypse.
You're really, really good at playing victim. You don't give a fuck about my emotions. Carl saying you're really good about playing victim when he literally ran to his mom and stepdad to be like, oh, she's mean to me, and literally has spent an entire summer saying, I'm just, like, really overwhelmed. Like, I just went to the monster.com website, and they, like, wanted to know, like, my social security, and it's like, it's a lot. It's a lot right now I'm going through.
Well, unfortunately for Carl, this isn't really going... according to the script he's written in his head. And a lot of it's his own fault, because he knows Lindsay well enough how to manipulate the situation to get Lindsay to lose her fucking mind and scream, right? And to make her look like the bad guy. And it doesn't take much, because Lindsay is the bad guy a lot of the time. So it's not hard to make her look like the bad guy. But unfortunately, he's also kind of made her go to therapy. And she has learned in therapy. She's, like, actually paid attention in therapy. I think Carl was kind of the one who chose therapy, which means that it doesn't mean that. But I think that people like Carl, manipulative people, I mean, it's not the first time I've said it, but I believe that manipulative people choose to go to therapy to use as a weapon against other people. They learn how to take that language and manipulate the fuck. It's like they learn how to say fuck you in a completely acceptable way. And I think Carl has done that. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, on the other hand, has actually learned stuff from therapy. And anybody who's seen all these seasons of this show, whether you love or hate Lindsay, you have to admit, the therapy's been working, because normally Lindsay would be stabbing this man in the throat. Like, the fact that this man is still alive after talking like this an entire season, and the fact that she's so calm and just like, what are you talking about being the victim? I'm literally just asking you questions. It's like, oh, how dare you? How dare you treat me like that? Always the victim. You, little Lindsay. I'm like, you're the one crying like a little bitch in your fucking marching band costume. Like, be quiet, dude.
Yeah, Sergeant Radke's Lonely Heart Club's band. But you know, the thing is that, like, with Lindsay is that, on some level, I do understand when Carl's like, you know, I'm excited about something, a job opportunity came my way, and I just kind of want to live in that excitement. Like, and I get it. Like, you know, sometimes something exciting happens. Like, oh my God, I just realized I got this thing. And the last thing you want is, like, a freaking Eeyore being like, but did you think about the environmental impact or whatever? Sometimes you just want to live in the happy space. I get it. But I think, like, what I have to infer, and I'm doing this because I feel like it's there, is that I feel like Lindsay was in that space. I feel like that's what we saw her doing all last season. But at a certain point, you can only cheerlead blindly for so long before you're like, oh, great, it's another thing I have to cheerlead that's not going to go anywhere. I think I'm done doing this. I think I want to start asking some harder questions, because otherwise I'm just cheering on his own inactivity.
Well, I think wanting some recognition for something that you did is valid. You know, I think being like, hey, look, I've come up with this thing. I'm super excited about pursuing this thing. I'm really into it, and I just want your support instead of your negativity. But he hasn't done that. I mean, Carl is like the ultimate in wanting a participation trophy. You know what I mean? He's like, mm-hmm, done nothing. What have you done, dude? And he's going to list it in just a minute. So we'll get to hear what his idea of having done something is. But what we've seen, what he wants a hug for is Kyle saying, hey, Bill, want to come back and sell some non-alc? That's not doing anything. You didn't come up with non-alc. Kyle didn't come up with non-alc either, by the way. That business is tanking, and you spent $20,000 for therapy to get over the trauma that you used Lindsay as a weapon against last year. Don't forget that this guy took Lindsay and was like, Kyle is so mean to me. Kyle's abusive. Kyle twists every little thing I say and uses it against me. Kyle is weaponizing blah. He's using all the exact same tactics he's using against Lindsay last season against Kyle. And then they spend all this money and he goes to therapy so that he can get over the trauma. And then after coming up with nothing to do after a whole fucking year, he's offered the simplest road out and says yes. And then he wants a fucking fireworks show. Out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. So Lindsay's like, I'm just asking questions. Are they harsh questions? Yes, but she's asking them. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this party. They're not.
What's harsh about saying?
The questions are not harsh.
How much is she making?
You know, like, you know, I will say this, like, her tone is definitely like, you know, her tone is like, oh, you know what? Did you ask about this? Because you should probably ask about that. Her tone is like, did you ask about this? Like, one could say that it's nagging, but I'm actually not going to say that because I feel like that has sexist undertones. And the truth is, we never question men's tones when they ask questions like this. So I feel like, you know, I feel like that's what Carl is getting at. It's like your tone. I don't like your tone when you speak to me. But the truth is this. Men don't get clocked on that, and women do get clocked on their tone. And so,
well, I'm not even going. I mean, and I understand what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with it, but I'm not even going with the sexism thing. I'm going with the flat out, she's not nagging you. Like, she's literally saying, how much money are you making? Did you ask how much you're going to get in your 401k? And he's like, oh my God, I just need softness and tenderness. Yeah. You don't get a fucking award for walking around the block, dude. Run. At least go at a brisk pace. You know what I mean?
I think when he says, I need softness and tenderness, I think on some level he is trying to, in a very polite, not polite, a very PC way, try to say, stop nagging me, stop being a nag. I think that's kind of at the core of it to some degree. And so, when I say I get it, it doesn't mean I approve. I'm just saying, like, I can see where what he's trying to say here. Like, you know, I'm coming up with this thing and you're like nagging me. But like, you deserve to be, if it is nagging, you deserve to be nagged. And it's not nagging, though. It's just her being like, I'm sick of this. I'm sick. It's always a new idea. And it's always a cockamamie idea that's not well researched. And sure, shoot for the stars, but put some research into it. And you don't do that. So now I have to start asking you questions because we're about to get married. It's one thing if we're casually dating, but we're about to get married. And, you know, we're about to start a family. And you're still coming up with, like, acting like an 18-year-old, thinking about what they're going to fill in the blank on for a college application.
And he's taking something that's a factual conversation. This is a business conversation. So this is like, we agreed that by the end of the summer, you're going to have a plan. It's the end of the summer. It's the final episode. It's the final party. So this is the scene where you sit down and you come up with your plan. And your plan is, you don't give me enough emotional support in not coming up with a plan. Because he doesn't have anything. So he's going to try arguing emotions. It's like a little kid thing, you know? It's like, you're mean to me. Did you clean your room? You're mean to me. You know, clean your fucking room. You're mean. He's mean. You know, it's like a child trying to turn something emotional because you didn't do the other work and you have nothing else to fucking rely on, dude. You're in your 40s. Make it happen, Carl. Come on, Carl.
And like even just something stupid, just... What he could even like buy some time if he says, you know what, I've decided to hire a headhunter who is going to find me some leads, you know, and I'm going to pursue it from there. Like just something like that would probably make Lindsay happy. Like I've submitted my resume, I've given it to a service, they're going to find some positions for me and we're going to see where it goes, try to get something to pay the bills. She probably just wants to hear that. Like you don't have to have your career figured out, just your paycheck.
Yeah, just make some kind of effort. So then Danielle and Lindsay are talking, and Danielle's asking her if she is okay, and she's like, he wants me to be someone I'm not, and it's embarrassing. Like, he wants me to be soft and tender, and wait for it. He wants me to give him hugs. And Danielle's like, hugs, oh my God. Danielle's like falling on the ground. She's like, who does he think you are? Hugs, Lindsay, I'm so sorry.
Remember the time you went to hug class and you wound up kicking someone in the nose? You're incapable.
Carl's trauma is not getting love and tenderness, and Lindsay's trauma is being expected to give hugs.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So she's like, it's cyclical. It's like circles and circles and circles and circles and circles. And Danielle's like, yeah, and by the way, you're soft in so many beautiful ways. Like, I love the soft way you can stare at someone and make them feel like they have just died. I love that.
She's like, you are soft in so many ways, Lindsay. You moisturize, A. You use fabric softener, which is nice. Your clothes always smell really good. They feel soft. Let's see. You have a really
when
good
I,
duvet.
When I press
really your, love your duvet.
When I press your skin, it presses in further than the cardboard version of you, so that's automatically softer. So there's that.
You're definitely softer than the cardboard version of you in your living room. So that's good.
So Danielle's like, well, I've been biting my tongue, but at the same time, like, you want something out of him that he's not providing, and he's putting that burden on you, and like, that's fucking not fair. And she's like, yeah, I'm fucking done coddling. Like, this man has had 10 months of chilling at home and, like, trying to think what he wants to fucking do. Like, I don't have a coddle left in me. The coddle is gone. There's no coddle. The coddle has disappeared. Coddle has left the building.
Knock, knock.
Coddle. Hi, Jax, what'd you do with my coddle? Where is it? I lost my coddle, Jax. So outside, Carl's talking.
I'm sorry,
to
we are out
friend.
Of coddle. Sorry, was that a Wi-Fi issue now. There?
Yeah,
guys, we still have a little bit of Wi-Fi
up
issue.
And talking over each other too much is because we have a shitty Wi-Fi connection. So sorry, but we really did not want to put this recap off. So Carl goes out and talks to some guy who's supposedly his friend. I don't believe it, but he's like, "Are you okay, Carl?" No. And Carl's like, "Oh, I mean, I'll be all right. You know what's tough? Relationships." Oh, for fuck's sake. You know what? Not drinking doesn't give you an excuse to just be the most boring fucking person on the planet. It's the finale party. Nobody wants to hear about your fucking relationship, okay? Go play some non-alc pong. For fuck's sake. Do something.
But by the way, you know what's... you know what I'm going to say? Maybe I speak from a place of privilege. You know what's not tough? Relationships. Relationships are not... Sorry. A bad relationship is tough. I think a good relationship, not tough. Sure, there may be things may happen. There may be little bumps in the road, but I would never qualify it as tough. You know, tough is like a shitty, shitty relationship. That is tough. So stop trying to like put a spin on it. Like, that's what relationships are. They're just tough. They're inherently tough. No, they're not.
Well, I have to say, that's actually so lovely to hear from you because you're in a good relationship. I do not hear that often. Actually,
well, never. That's because people
so
are in
I'm
bad
glad
relationships.
To hear from you. But yeah, and I think that people don't really understand that. It shouldn't be tough. Like, if it's constantly tough and it's constant strife and constant, you know, making yourself
that's
do it
good.
Or trying to talk each other into it or this constant, like, they take a lot of work. So every single day, we're going to sit here and we're going to work through every single... Then maybe you just don't need to be together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, some things shouldn't take that much work. Like, this is supposed to be enjoyable, you know?
Yeah, it should be. And I think that people like convince themselves that it is good. It's like it is really, really hard, but it's worth it because it's so good. Like it's like what you go through with hazing, you know, like you're bonded through difficulty. But I don't think there should be hazing in a relationship. I think like generally hazing is actually really not good anytime, to be honest. So, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
you shouldn't have to train somebody to do it. And I feel like sometimes people talk about relationships like, oh my God, you know, sorry guys, I'm sneezing in your face as I'm talking romantically. But when people are saying things like, you know, he's just, when it's good and it's so good and I can't get enough. But then when it's bad, it's so terrible. And it sounds like drug addiction. It sounds like addiction language.
It sounds like LA traffic, okay? You don't need your relationship to sound like
that. You know what you eventually have to do with addictions? You have to quit them. There's no middle ground with that. There's no time that you're like, you know what? I've finally worked out my addiction to cocaine where sometimes I can enjoy it. And then other times I'm just happy having it in my drawer. That's just not how it works. You know what I mean? So if you're in a relationship like that, don't be in it. Run. Yeah. And also stay out of LA traffic.
Relationships take work in the sense that like you have to think of someone else and like that is like, that inherently is work, right? But it shouldn't be hard work. It should be like, it should just be, you know, it's what you do. You step outside of yourself. So anyway, I just don't like this thing of like, well, you know, relationships are work, but we love each other. It's like, yeah, no, you're in a shitty relationship. Sorry. And, you know, again, I understand. I speak, as my friend calls it, love privilege. But, like, that being said, like, if the alternative is, like, Carl and Lindsay, well, then, you know, by gosh. So, meanwhile, Jesse's flirting with a girl, and he's talking about how now that he's cancer-free, he can do things like make plans and know that he can do them. So, I guess in the case of Jesse, he can make plans to see someone and then never see them again and know that he'll never have to see them again. Because now he can go back to doing that.
You know, Jesse has this certain charm about... Well, first of all, he's got tall privilege, so let's never forget that. He's really good-looking. He's got a huge smile. He's got a Pez dispenser as a face. I mean, the man has a smile ear to ear. He's very cute and charming, et cetera, et cetera. He's really a slime ball whenever they show him talking to women, don't you think? I like him. I like him in his confessionals, and I like him on the show. But whenever they show him talking to one of these randos at a party, he's so gross. Like this one, he's like, "What are you, like 2 feet tall? That's amazing. I'm going to sit down just so I can be more on your level. Like I'm closer to you sitting like this than I am standing up there. It's crazy. Bah, God damn, you're short." And then the last one, he's like, "Show me your boobs."
Yeah. And then, like, another girl walks up to him while he's actively flirting on the first girl, because the second girl was someone he was flirting with earlier. Like, he's going to, like, he is going to get a bad edit. Maybe next season, the season after, but, like, the other shoe is going to drop, okay? And then, speaking of shoes dropping, we have Wes and Sierra. They're kissing, they're dancing. Wes somehow wound up with a giant profile in the New York Times. It may have even been the New York Times Magazine. I don't even know. Like, I love Wes. I think that Wes is a great addition. The New York Times is so...
I do not trust Wes, still.
Yeah, and the New York...
Sorry, I just had to get
I just
that
don't know
there.
How the. I just don't know how this happened. This is wild that Wes wound up in the New York Times. New York Times is usually behind on these things. But sometimes they do profile the things that we love. But it was so bizarre. I was like, is this real? Was this Photoshop? And it's like, no, Wes was really in the New York Times. Profiled for just being Wes. Wild.
Yeah, well...
The wild, wild Wes.
There you go.
So there, he's kissing with...
What it is? Did you read it? I haven't read it.
I started reading some of it, and it was literally... It was just like, look at this guy. He's great. It was just that. It was basically like Bravo was like, hey, the Summer House finale is coming up. Let's place this story in the New York Times to promote it. So West and Sierra are kissing.
Hey, thanks for reading the New York Times. Television show has cast a handsome, charming person. Okay. Well, 10 pages on that coming up. Be sure to pay for your subscription. Okay.
I mean,
hard-hitting news, New York Times.
It is kind of noteworthy that the show took 8 years to cast a memorable male, right? since the initial cast of Kyle and Carl, right? There's not been a single memorable male in 8 years. They got two this one.
That is true. Okay, so then we go over to Carl. So Carl's just upset, and he's moping, and he's stomping all around the house, and nobody's giving him attention, and running to him and saying, hey, Carl, what's wrong, Carl? What's wrong, Carl? Carl, because you're fucking moping every goddamn weekend, okay? Yeah. So he's like, you know, I just don't bounce back like Lindsay does. I mean, look at Lindsay. She's just partying now, drinking the night away, no problem. Oh, God. So now here we go, Carl. Lindsay gets to drink, and I don't get to drink. Lindsay's a damn alcoholic, but I have to sit here with my emotions. Carl, you're like Drew Barrymore getting mad that there's fires all over around you. You know, stop starting the fires, Drew Barrymore. Stop starting the fires, ma'am.
Well, also, like, you can't do this whole thing of, like, oh, Lindsay bounces back. Like, the implication is that, like, she just doesn't care enough like I do. She just bounces back, but it sits with me. But then you can't tell a story later in the episode about how Lindsay was sitting with this with so much anger that she shattered a bunch of water bottles in the backseat of your Kia. So is it that she holds on to things for too long? Or is that she doesn't hold on to them enough? What is it? So meanwhile, and by the way, this is like the best.
Literally, he's like, she never holds on to things. That's why she spills glass all over my backseat.
She broke a whole bunch of premium smart waters, like in the glass.
And he's like, fear, anxiousness is one of the loneliest moments I've ever had in this house. Right now.
Then stop starting fights, you fucking loser. Get a job, Carl, and then we can talk about your job. You know what I mean? Stop talking about all these jobs you don't have and wanting approval for them. Do something worthy of approval, Carl, and stop asking for invisible medals.
He's also totally that guy. This is like the most epic party they've ever thrown on this show. This was wild. They had like this giant like metal cat thing. There was someone breathing fire. This party looked insane. It looked like Burning Man or Coachella or something. I don't know. It was wild. And of course, everyone's having a great time except for Carl moping around just because Lindsay asked him about a job. Like, are you going to get a job? Did you ask these questions? So he's moping around, little ringmaster lost from the circus, and everyone else is having a great time, and Paige and Sierra and Amanda are talking. They're just like really proud of West for throwing a great party, and they're like, they're so impressed by this party that Amanda's like, yeah, I decided to be nice to his friends. Because I think that Wes is going to be around. I think like we finally have a guy who's going to be on this show for more than one season. So I'm going to make an effort with his friends.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste your time. This guy's just like sitting there waiting for all the hot girls that are going to be coming onto him in the bar. I said it in episode 3, and I stand by it.
Yeah.
Also, I know I'm right because I saw the clips of the preview.
Yeah, there's that too.
So Carl's moping around. Meanwhile, speaking of really sad things happening, Danielle's back with Balloon Guy Joe. Oh my God. I just want to, Danielle's not my favorite, but she's also like, I feel bad for her. I mean, I say that a lot. Like, I like her as a person, I think. I just think she's just so misguided and I don't know, so sad. And
she's sad.
Every time I see her with the balloon guy, I'm just like, wow, please.
She went from a chef to a balloon guy.
Like, what more of a call for help do you need? I mean, your friend is over there fucking a guy who twists balloons into animal shapes. Someone help her.
How dare you? He makes balloon arches. So then some random blonde girl goes up to Carl and goes, love your jacket. You look like Michael Jackson. He goes, oh, thank you. Is that what you were going for? No. I'm clearly Babes in Toyland at the end of the world. Ha.
Carl's such a dick to this girl, too. She's just trying to be nice to him. She's like, is that what you're going for? And he's like, oh, no. So then party, and Paige is making an announcement. She's like, guys, we had so much fun with you. Thank you so much for coming. I'm not moving to any of your hometowns or having babies with you probably ever, but have fun wasting your 40s. Oh, I'm sorry. That was for Craig. I hope someone had that hooked up to his voicemail. No? Okay, get the fuck out. Go home.
They don't seem to be leaving. Oh, wait, here's an idea. Everyone, thanks for coming. There's a sale on Old Navy. It starts right now. Look, they're already running out. Look at them. Just going. Just fleeing for the gates.
So Kyle's like, I love an abrupt ending. Yeah. So then Danielle goes for her happy ending to fuck Balloon Guy in her bathroom. So.
Perhaps also an abrupt ending. And then Kyle and Carl are talking outside, and Kyle's like, oh man, you motherfuckers, what was that about? Well, before the party started, we were talking about my conversation with you, and I was trying to give her a download of it. That was some corporate talk. Did you like that? I'm like ready to get into the workforce. And she was asking question after question about that, really trying to open the kimono, as they say, more business jargon, yeah. And I don't need that, okay? It's just been like a lot of shit in my life, and as I've grown into my sobriety, I don't think that she's embraced the notion that it's like hard at times, and like I'm that way with her, like around her, like I'm like gentle with her abandonment issues. I'm like very understanding, and I try to remind her of how proud I am of her.
Yeah, like I'm really sensitive about her abandonment issues, which is why, like, I literally abandoned her suitcase last weekend when I got mad at her. So I'm, like, really good. I don't understand, like, why she can't be sensitive about my sobriety and not ask me questions about a job.
How do those things have anything to do with each other, Carl? Okay? Congratulations on being sober. Guess what happened when you were not sober and what's happening when you are sober? You don't have a job, Carl.
I know.
You can't keep a job. You've never been able to keep a job. Let's stop acting like this is something new, and now you get a pass for it because you've done something good for yourself outside of the workspace. This is not work. Those two things don't have anything in common. Congratulations on sobriety. Non-congratulations on not doing anything professionally. Get a job, Carl. Stop running around and get a job.
Also, don't give yourself a pat on the back for being sensitive to Lindsay's abandonment issues while you are simultaneously failing to see how her wanting you to be serious about your job is clearly a direct outcome of her abandonment issues. You know, in my mind, the way I see it is that, like, as he kind of, like, dithers about, like, maybe I want to do this, maybe I want that, that is not giving her a sense of security in this relationship. Like, the indecisiveness about his career translates very easily to a sense of indecisiveness about this relationship. It also means that you're not really being serious. Like, she wants to start a family, and you have someone who's, like, not even really taking the steps and doing the work to make sure that there's, like, a paycheck so that way she can raise the child as she has expressed that she wants to, and that, like, that can be a secure environment. This is someone who yearns for security, and that's what she's asking for. And then you're going to proudly say how you respect her abandonment issues when you're directly doing everything to undermine them.
So this next part is pretty shitty. So he's like, you know, like, I'm really understanding about her abandonment issues, and I try to remind her of how proud I am of, you know, like, how she's not, like, I mean, I don't know what that means. Like, how proud I am of her, like, not crying about being abandoned every day.
Or how proud I am that she didn't get abandoned today. You did a great job today. You didn't get abandoned.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you for not getting abandoned.
I'm so proud.
Really good job.
I do such a good job with her abandonment issues, so it's going to be really terrible when I abandon her at the end of the episode. Oh.
That's so dark. That's so dark. So Kyle's like, so what do you think? You think she doesn't reciprocate you? I think he's like, she uses it as an excuse. Oh yeah, there's sensitive Carl. Look how sensitive Carl is with Lindsay's abandonment issues, everybody. She uses being abandoned as an excuse. Like, she's so strong. Like, she got through everything in her life, so I need to do it too. Like, we're just different how we navigate our traumas. Carl.
Trauma talk. I mean, therapy talk. But also trauma talk.
Girl. I do like someone who cares about how they make someone else feel, you know? And I don't think that she does understand how she makes me feel or other people in her life, you know? And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. Because she's always justified in her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because she's not justifying her feelings right now. She's not even talking about any feelings that she's having. She's just saying, why is Carl yelling at me instead of getting a job? That's her feeling.
Yeah. Kyle's like, well, there we go from here. So now, meanwhile, inside, everyone's having just the best time. Everyone's just like, literally the entire cast has, like, crawled into this bed. They're doing a cuddle puddle. They're just having so much fun. It's like, wow, this season's been wonderful because they just all love being around each other. They are laughing. They're joking. There's such a great vibe. Everyone's having a great time, except for Carl and Lindsay, of course. Oh, and Danielle, too. But Danielle just, you know, she just had a balloon guy moment. So she's kind of on the come down from that. But, of course, Carl and Lindsay are, you know, the gray cloud on this otherwise super fun night.
Okay, so let's get frustrated with another man and go to West and Sierra in bed. So he's like, you called me baby earlier today. I don't know if you caught that. She goes, yeah, because you were dripping water all over the thing. So I was like, baby, stop. He goes, but yeah, but don't downgrade me from being called something. Like, you called me baby, so say you meant to call me baby.
She's like, are you a pet name type of person? He's like, yeah, I like baby. I call friends baby. She goes, ugh, of course you do. He's like, it's weird though. Like, I mean, if I said love you downstairs, people would be like, wait, what? But if I said to Kyle, like, no one would, like, blink. It's just like, that's just like a real thing. It's like, not bad.
Yeah, he's so like, well, I mean, I just don't get it. Like, if I said I love you to you, people would freak out, but I can say I love you to Kyle.
She's like, yeah.
She's like, yeah, but it's called intention.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, if you know, you act like nothing's a big deal, so I can't really figure out what is significant to you, you know, because nothing's a big deal. So, like, it's not a big deal to meet your family. It's not a big deal for you to say I love you. It's not a big deal to use a pet name or say baby. And he's like, wait, but aren't I saying that it is a big deal by saying that it's not a big deal? Oh, my God. Did they just find this fucking non-committal piece of shit at the same school they found everybody else at? Like, do they have an audition for emotionally fucked, unstable Peter Pans on this network? How do they find so many?
I know. Well, you can read the New York Times article to find out how we came into it. So, Sierra's just having a great season. I feel like something has happened with Sierra. I don't know if it's that she's come out of her shell or she's sort of like grown, not grown up, that makes it seem like she was immature, but she's sort of become wiser, or maybe both. But she just, I love how she's really seeing this situation so clearly. And she's like, yeah, but like, you're saying I call my friends that, so it's no big deal. So why wouldn't I call you that? She's basically saying, you are just you're making me not feel like I like this is anything serious. You're just a fuckboy. I'm seeing that you're just a fuckboy right now.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Peyton, it's happening. We're finally being recognized for being very online.
It's about damn time. I mean, it's hard work being this opinionated.
And correct.
You're such a Leo.
All the time. So if you're looking for a home for your worst opinions,
if you're a hater first and a lover of pop culture second,
then join me, Hunter Harris.
And me, Peyton Dix, the host of Wondery's newest podcast, Let Me Say This.
As beacons of truth and connoisseurs of mess, we are scouring the depths of the internet so you don't have to.
We're obviously talking about the biggest gossip and celebrity news.
Like, it's not a question of if Drake got his body done, but when.
You are so messy for that, but we will be giving you the B-sides, don't you worry. The deep cuts, the niche, the obscure.
Like that one photo of Nicole Kidman after she finalized her divorce from Tom Cruise.
Mother, a mother to many. Follow Let Me Say This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to episodes everywhere on May 22nd, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app on Apple Podcasts.
So then Carl and Lindsay get into bed, and Lindsay is he just keeps looking over at Lindsay, and she's, it looks like she's staring off into space, but I can't tell if she's asleep because it's in the dark cam. I'm sure this is how they always go to bed, you know, with one of them pissed off. Like, they don't believe in that. Don't go to bed angry. You know, they're always going to bed angry.
Yeah.
Please break up. Please.
They also, they also love waking up angry, and they wake up, and of course, this is their conversation. Morning. How'd you sleep?
Good.
Like, okay, you guys are doing great. Doing great, guys.
I know this is like temporary.
Sorry, I was taking a big, huge gulp of water. Yeah, she's like, I know it's temporary, and we're not always going to be planning a wedding, and Carl's not always going to be without a job. Okay, stop right there. Yes, he is. Carl is literally always going to be without a job. You can pretty much put your money on that. And the ebbs and flows of how a partnership works, I'm aware of, and I'm patient, but it's also exhausting.
I wouldn't call Lindsay patient, but that's, you know, but that's okay. She's more patient than she would have been, you know, 5 seasons ago. So anyway, there's some talk about, like, Wes being excited that football season's starting, and he has these visions of watching it with Sierra and his pals and watching the Chiefs. And then everyone gathers to have fun in the pool because they're having fun. They love each other. Fun. This is a time for fun. Except for Lindsay and Carl. So Lindsay's in the kitchen. Lindsay is rage cleaning. She is pouring out cans and just, like, scowling and angry. And she's like, this place is a disaster. And Carl, like, even this drove me nuts right here when he said this. She's like, this place is a disaster. And he goes, yeah, but it's, like, been worse, though, before. So, like, can you just,
he does nothing to help her, by the way.
Yeah, nothing.
He just sits there and watches her. He's like, oh, what are you complaining about? It's been worse. So,
I'm like, this guy can't even let her have a messy kitchen moment. A declaration of messiness.
Because it's Carl. Carl is going to do whatever he can to get the reaction from Lindsay that he's been trying to get all weekend, because it's a finale party. And if he's going to break up with her, he's going to need a huge reaction from Lindsay. So no matter what happened, Lindsay starts it okay. She doesn't start a fight in bed. So then she comes and starts cleaning up, and he's still going to just sit there, watch her clean, not help her at all, criticize her, and then start poking her. This guy's such a piece of shit. So she's like, how was your run? And he's like, oh, much needed. So much needed. I listened to a song called Softness and Tenderness on loop, and it really helped. So
that's a really good song, actually.
Elvis Presley played that over and over again. Love Me Tender, Love Me True. Why is Lindsay making me blue, like, constantly all the time? Guess what that song doesn't have in it? Questions. Okay, not one question.
Tender love. So then Lindsay is, so Carl's like, so are you thinking about going to Montauk? Because, like, there's a band called Arizona there, and I want to go see Montauk, and, like, I don't know, I want to go to Montauk. She's like, personally, I don't want to go to Montauk. It's, like, not really in the cards for me. And he's like, yeah, huh. Well, yesterday was not great, and I tried to share how I'm feeling emotionally about this career stuff and some things that I've been hoping and feeling I could get, and I feel like it just gets turned around on me. Like, after our conversation yesterday, I, like, could not snap out of it. After you were like, did you get a job yet? And I was like, stop saying the J word. It's too much. I'm overwhelmed right now. It's like it was turned around on me.
And he's like, yeah, I couldn't snap out of it. And she says, I could tell, Carl, because you literally walked around the party. Like, she didn't say anything, but Carl literally stomped around that party from person to person, huffing and puffing.
I know.
She's like, yeah, Carl, I could tell. And he's like, that's probably the worst time I've ever had in the history of going to a party.
Oh, we'll be.
Really? Because I can name like five that were worse.
I know. Thanks, Carl. We'll be sure to alert the Guinness Book of World Records. Worst time ever in the history of parties. So she's
no one made you a banner for getting offered the easiest fucking gig in the world by the person you just accused of being an emotional terrorist to you last year. Okay.
She's like, well, what you're looking for in the discussion surrounding your career is just, like, not realistic. I ask a lot of follow-up questions based off of the nature of who I am as a person, who I have always been as a person. Please, here are some box set of DVDs of seasons 1-7.
And she's like, and you say you don't want to hear my advice or questions. And he's like, well, I do, but I want something different. And I need something different than the coaching and the questioning, okay? I do not like coaching. I need to get that down right now because I'm going to prove how much I hate coaching the rest of this episode. You got it? And I don't like questioning. I don't want that in my wife or fiance. I don't want that. And I don't think I signed up for that. So don't do that, all right? Now, I hate questioning. I hate coaching. So let me coach you how to talk to me for the rest of this scene.
Yeah, so just in summary, what I'm trying to say is I'm sensitive about your abandonment issues, but I would also like to say in this process, I would like to abandon you and figure it out myself. Thank you.
So she's like, that's rude, Carl. That is very rude, and I'm just pointing out that you're being very rude. And he goes, oh, okay, well, thanks, but my intention is not to be rude. It's to poke at you and make you yell while you're cleaning up and I'm sitting here. She's like, okay, then please don't make little digs like that. But Lindsay, I want a lover. I want intimacy. A partner is about caring. A partner cares about how I feel, and you need to really make me feel better because I do that for you. By the way, I hate coaching, so let me just tell you how to be a partner. You need to make me feel better because that's what partners do. It's like, okay, so now you're the partner coach.
We're not doing that again. Those are fighting words, and if you talk to me in that tone anymore,
fighting words.
I have already pulled.
You're making fighting words. You are.
Carl.
You are.
I have already pulled this paper towel, this selector-sized paper towel, out to eat selector-sizes.
She did too.
She was like, did you notice she had like the roll, yes, like in the right? She was out like Jesus on the cross with a roll on one side and seven squares across the way.
She was like, I'm staying calm right now, but I'm killing 97 trees.
She was selecting squares. I mean, you have never seen someone select a size on a paper towel the way Lindsay was when she was rage selecting a size.
So he's saying, I support you and you don't support me. So she's like, those are fighting words, Carl. Do not make me kill these paper towels. And he's like, you're making it fighting words because of the language you use. And like, when you receive me talking about the things I'm being honest about, I'm not fighting. I'm trying to communicate. But you shut it down by saying I'm fighting. And it's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
Carl, you're fighting. And you're gaslighting.
And you're trying to make her mad. And it's not working. And so now you're going to start to spin out of control just so she'll amp up. And it's still not going to work, you dummy. Nice try, though.
So when he says, I'm not fighting, that's equivalent of saying, like, why are you mad? So then she just does it. Excuse me, does it to him. She's like, well, why are you getting so angry right now? I'm like joking.
He's like, because you shut shit down, Lindsay. And she's like, I'm trying to understand what your needs are, Carl. He's like, I'm telling you, you're not listening. So Kyle comes inside. He's like, so he's, of course, listening and pretend. He's like, I'm going to get a cord and I'm going to roll it up because I'm a DJ now. And that's what DJs do. I'm just going to listen to this conversation. I have a mullet and a cord. All right. For hire.
I'm choking over here. You have to keep on talking. I've got to get a cough drop. Excuse me.
Okay. So Carl and Lindsay continue fighting while little mullet just kind of like hovers with a cord. And Carl's like, oh, Lindsay,
Do you trust that I'm going to figure this career thing out on my own?
She goes, of course I do.
Do you trust the longevity of my opportunities as a career person and what I could bring for my family? Do you trust that I could be successful?
Carl, why would I believe in the Tooth Fairy? Do I believe in fucking Santa Claus? No, Carl, because people keep telling me they're there, but there's literally no proof. There's only so long that I'm going to get one single fucking quarter under my pillow before I'm like, who is this bitch? And why isn't she giving me a raise? And why does every fucking quarter smell like menthol cigarettes and Franzia and have a tiny little bit of a lipstick smear? Because it's my mother, Carl. Okay, it's my mother who's the Tooth Fairy. You haven't done anything, Carl. You haven't done anything to instill this belief into anybody else. It's not a religion.
Yeah. If someone who has been fired from like a job after job after job comes up to me and then is like, do you believe that I can just like be successful at anything I do? I'd be like, you could be successful, but we have to see you sort of like, we have to see what, you know, professional Carl looks like. Okay. You can't just like say you're going to be successful just blindly.
Yeah. Do you trust that I can be successful? If you got off the couch, Carl, have you? What have you done, Carl? Please make a list.
You can't even clean the kitchen.
And I know you will in just a moment.
You can't even take the initiative to clean the kitchen.
You're literally sitting there watching her clean the kitchen. So she says basically what you did. She's like, well, I think that you could be successful at a lot of different things. He goes, oh, whoa. Emphasis on could. Yeah, Carl, because you're not successful. Sorry. Does that hurt your feelings? It's not a feelings thing. You're not doing anything, Carl. You've never done anything. Do something, Carl. You're not even successful at being on this show. You've done nothing on this show either. I mean, what the hell? Granted, you're giving an attempt right now to keep your ass on this show because you know you have nothing else after. But what do you do?
I can't believe that he literally asked, do you think I could be successful? And, you know, and when she says, I think you could be successful at something, basically saying if you applied yourself, and he's like, no, your answer should be, yes, babe, you're a fucking rock star. You're awesome. Could you imagine? Could you imagine, like, that's just all you want to hear? That's just the response you want to hear when you haven't even earned that? You have not earned, like, maybe he earns you're awesome. Like, you know, you want your fiancé to say you're awesome. But, like, you just don't. You just can't get it just because you've decided you want it. Like, just because you decided to write a resume doesn't mean that you are all of a sudden entitled to, like, being...
Participation trophy. That's what he wants. He wants a fucking wall of ribbons for just showing up. And you're not even showing up, Carl. So, and the thing that's so funny is his wording was, do you trust that I can be successful? And she goes, I think that you could be successful. Could? I was like, yes, Carl. That's a variant of can. It's literally the question you asked. She's giving you an affirmative action to the question you asked.
Yeah.
An affirmative response. Sorry. I'm like, Carl, Lindsay's giving you affirmative action, Carl. Take it. Stupid.
Well, we're just not understanding each other. We're just like two ships passing in the night, and I just like don't know how to get alignment. Hold on, I just got a text. Oh, man, I just got fired from the ship. Well...
Turns out I didn't have the licensing to be captaining that ship, so got fired from that. But please, trust that I'm a captain. You do trust that I'm a captain, right?
Yeah, it's like, you are two ships passing the night, but I feel like her ship is blaring its foghorn at you, and you're not getting out of the way.
So he's like, no, you're not championing me, okay? You're not championing me. I just want you to say, yes, babe, you're a fucking rock star. You're awesome. And Kyle's listening to this, you know, and Lindsay's just looking at him like, are you fucking crazy? So he goes, yeah, I'm just like growingly concerned that we cannot resolve our conflict. We literally cannot do it. Now, again, he's saying lines in a fight that's not happening because she's not fighting with him. He's coming up with all of the stuff that she's saying, and she's not saying any of it. So she's just like, what? What are you saying? And he's like, before we get married, we have serious things that we need to iron out. Kyle, again, you're suggesting that you would iron. I don't even believe that you would iron, Carl.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, what are you saying? You don't want to get married? Which, by the way, he does not want to get married. Which also, by the way, if he doesn't want to get married, that he's totally entitled to that, but he doesn't want to get married. And so instead of saying, I think that we need to rethink this, he goes, well, I didn't say that. So she's like, ugh. All right, well, you're beating around the bush again right now. Well, it's just our resolution of conflict is, like, never going to go away. It's, like, scary. It scares the shit out of me. It really does. I'm just, like, being honest, right? I'm being really honest. And I definitely start having second thoughts about, you know, stuff. It's like, okay, so you're having second thoughts about stuff, but you don't want to call off the wedding. So which one is it? Which one is it?
No, he wants her to call off. He's trying his best because, as we find out later, if he's afraid that if he calls out the wedding, he's going to be canceled. Like, and I love that it's the stuff that we've been suspecting all season, but Carl is just so fucking transparent. He just comes out and says it. Like, oh, great. Now I had to break up with her. Now I'm going to get canceled. So, fucking Carl. So, yeah, he's trying to get her to break up with him so he doesn't get canceled. So he's like, yeah, 100%. I've had second thoughts. And she's like, okay, well, now maybe that's a bigger conversation if you're having second thoughts. He's like, well, I'm committed to trying to work on stuff. You know, I'm just expressing how I'm feeling in this moment. Stop hitting me, Lindsay. Stop hitting me. And she's like, no, I hear you loud and clear. And he's like, well, today was our engagement anniversary. It feels off how we're dealing with this, you know? That was a year ago where we had People Magazine hiding in a bush and we were pretending that we were shocked when you gave me that ring that you purchased with all your own money. That was amazing.
And then we get a flashback. Ha, Lindsay Dale Hubbard, ha. Will you marry me? So Lindsay's like, she's like, I mean, every relationship has ebbs and flows. That's like my new thing. And like, it can't always be rainbows and butterflies, but it can be, you know, denial and arguments.
And he's like, when we're good, we're amazing. But when we're not, it's rough. She goes, okay, Carl, what do you need from me? He's like, in this moment, can I get a hug? She goes, no, not in this moment, in general. He's like, oh, I'm crying right now, though. She goes, in general, Carl.
I just want a hug right now, if that's okay. She's very sensitive. Is the camera getting this? Because I'm, like, literally crying right now.
I mean, I would lose my mind. She's like, a hug. Don't try to, like, just patch this up with a Band-Aid. So she's like, okay. So she comes over to hug him soullessly. She sort of, like, has her head against his chest, looking at the kitchen counter, looking at all the cans she still has to clean.
Harder. Hug me harder. Hug me
squeeze
harder.
Squeeze me, please.
Squeeze me. So hug me harder. Squeeze me, please.
One more squeeze.
Please.
Harder.
One more
put
squeeze.
Put your weight on me.
Harder.
Put your weight.
I hate coaching.
Squeeze
by the way.
Me with your weight.
You're hugging wrong. All right, here's how you need to hug me. I hate coaching. All right, put your arms around me. Then squeeze. Do it hard. You can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't want any more hugs from you. Harder hugs from you. Okay, damn it. I hate coaching so much. That was a terrible hug. All right, we're going to work on that next week. All right, in the meantime, give me 5 laps.
This was so incredibly awkward. This hug, where it's awkward enough that he's saying, excuse me, sweet please, one more squeeze. Harder, excuse me. And she's literally staring, so miserable. I mean, it was so cringe, like, so cringeworthy.
Yeah. He's like, you used to like my hugs.
And she's like,
man.
She like, let's
remember
have this
how
laugh.
You were like, remember how that time you told me if hugs were a job, you'd be like great at that. So like, basically, I've got a career in hugging right now, and I just need your support in that.
You know what I was thinking, Lindsay? You know that guy at farmer's markets who has the sign that says free hugs? What about hugs for a dollar? I mean, it's a million-dollar business idea right there.
So now the party's over, so people are clean, or it's the next day, sorry, the well, party's the same, been over, yeah. Sorry guys, I got lost there. So they're cleaning up the backyard, and Paige is like, wow, we really go through a fuck ton of Loverboy. Does anybody drink this? Because it's literally disgusting. I think the only people we're keeping in profit are like aspirin companies, because this shit's disgusting. Okay, can we stop faking this now? Thanks. Can we just wear some Loverboy sweatshirts? That would be great.
Yeah, that's out. Oh, we just need the sweatshirts. So then Paige is talking to Jesse, seeing if he had a fun summer, and he's talking about how, like, normally he does share houses with just boys, but this time it was with girls. It's been really cool. It's top-notch summer. Yay. So now everyone's packing to go get in their cars to go to Montauk, and Danielle checks in on Lindsay. And she's like, well, once again, just got my ass handed to me by Carl, just talking in circles and circles and circles and circles. And then he gets defensive, and then he starts slinging insults, and then he's like, oh, we have a lot to think about. And I'm like, what?
So she's like, and that's why we went to couples therapy, and there's nothing new, Carl, and I have been working really hard on my tone and delivery and reactiveness and not getting activated. And that's true. We've seen that, because yeah. Right now, Carl would have a bloody face. I'm telling you. And she's like, and it's almost like he feels so bad that he wants to make me feel bad, and then he wants me to give him a hug. It's like, what the hell?
Right. And he's like, I just want
you
to be my...
I love that she can see so clearly what he's doing, she's not taking it the same we are, obviously, where she's like, this manipulative fuck, what is he doing? But she sees what he's doing, and she's just like, but why? I don't understand why he's doing that. Like, clearly he's full of shit, but what is his end goal, you know?
Right.
Like, why is it not dawning on her that he's purposely trying to make her fly off the handle? She's just so confused.
Yeah, and she's like, he's like, oh, I just want you to be like my partner, my lover, and have intimacy. It's like, oh, maybe don't yell at me and insult me, and then I'll want to fuck you.
By the way, I'm sorry. I put in a lozenge. Have you guys been hearing it, like, clicking around my mouth? I was trying not to do that, and then I was stopped paying attention because I got so caught up. And so if you hear, like, the sound of a lozenge in a mouth, I'm really sorry, but it's preventing me from, like, hacking up a lung while we podcast.
So Danielle's like, you're not wearing your engagement ring. And it's like, dun, dun, dun. And then we go to commercial. But she just left it on the table. So, you know, who cares? Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We forever love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Elena, an autopsy technician.
And I'm Ash, a hairstylist.
And we just love swapping stories about all of the morbid things that fascinate us.
And if you do too, join us on our podcast, Morbid. It's a safe space to let your weirdo flag fly.
On Morbid, we cover dark historical events, sinister science, unnerving paranormal events, and sordid high society murders.
We also dive deep into the most notorious crimes in history.
Our podcast is grounded in rigorous and painstaking research. We're also not afraid to read a
Yeah. We keep it weird because a dash of snark is necessary to get through grotesque true tales of demented minds.
So follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.